We're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
If music be the fruit of love, play on, baby. The Gospel of Love, featuring Pastor Marshall Blessing on the ones and twos. Gospel of Love, relationships by the book. Yeah.
Yeah. That's great. Thank you very much, Nate. A man of many talents. We appreciate you. Thank you. All right. How's everybody doing? I am very glad to see you all in the house of God today, especially on a day when the weather isn't so nice. I really appreciate that you all took the time to come out through the weather and be here to have fellowship with us today. Give yourselves a hand. And I'm really excited about today because I'm excited about this message. I've been thinking about it for a while. We're finishing up our Gospel of Love series today. We're talking about relationships. And so I have sort of a weird message. I'm going to be drawing some pictures. But we have relationships with everybody. We have relationships with people all around us. So just because you're not in a romantic relationship necessarily, this message may still have something for you. So pay attention. This is good stuff. And I would like to make sure you sit close enough so you can see. I'm going to be drawing pictures. If you want to move up, we don't have a whole lot of people here today. Feel free. Yeah. Thank you, Jonathan. You're good. So we're wrapping up the Gospel of Love series today. So far, we have talked about a love that motivates, a love that is unbreakable. We've talked about a love you can trust. And so today, I'm going to be talking about a love that reaches. And I'm going to do that using set theory. Now, if you're not into theoretical mathematics, don't worry. You can still get something out of this message. The pictures I'm drawing, just think of them like I'm diagramming football plays. They're easy to understand. It's no problem. So first, I'd like to introduce a couple terms. These come from sociology. The in-group and the out-group. These are terms used to describe how we view groups of people. We usually view ourselves as the in-group. This is our in-group. We're part of this in-group. The in-group is usually the group that you want to be a part of. And the out-group is everyone else. It's kind of, in a way, it's like the cafeteria in junior high school. There was that one table where all the cool people sat. They were the in-group, okay? And then me with the math team and everyone else, we were the out-group, all right? As humans, we like to classify things. We like to organize. We like to group things. It helps us understand the world. And it is a good trait. It's a good thing. Years and years ago, think back to early man, it was very helpful for him to be able to group things. These animals are friendly. And these animals will eat me. So when I encounter a new animal, I know which group it's in, so I know whether I need to hide or whether I can go pet it. These plants are okay to eat. These make me sick. When I find a new plant, which group does it belong in? It's helpful for us to be able to organize our lives. And nowadays, we can organize almost every part of your life, especially with digital technology and planners and stuff. My phone is rather archaic, but even it has the ability to group the people in my contact list. So when I need to call somebody from Redemption Church, I go to the Redemption Church group, and I can find you much faster than trying to dig through the whole long list. It's good to be able to group things. But I believe sometimes we misapply that when we apply it to our faith life. So I've got some pictures to sort of help me illustrate what I'm talking about. The beginning of this might seem a little bit basic. It's kind of like Christianity 101. Stick with me. Hopefully you're familiar with this stuff. And these pictures are pretty simple. So maybe you can draw them to witness to other people, to share the gospel with them. So, in the beginning was God. Amen? Before everything else, there was God. Then God created a couple people. I'm going to use dots to represent people. All right. We got a couple people. Things were good. This was the garden. Everything was great. Then things were pretty simple back then. God only gave one command. Don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But then there was a snake, and the snake said it's okay to eat it, and the people did. And then, what do you know? Boom. There's the in-group and the out-group. There was a separation. There was a boundary. God is holy. He's perfect. And we violated God's command. He told us not to do something, and we did it. That's imperfection. So God's the in-group. We're the out-group. We're sort of on the outside. There's a separation from him. Well, okay, time goes on. There were more people, but they were always outside this boundary, and they could never get in. That was their goal. That's what we want. We want fellowship with God, but there was always this boundary. Occasionally, there was people who sort of violated or penetrated that boundary, and they died because God's holiness and our imperfection aren't compatible. You can't be in that space. Well, so this isn't really the way God wanted it either. In time, he gave the people some rules, some laws to live by that let them push in and move as close as possible on the edge of that boundary. So they got as close as they possibly could. But they could never get in. God instituted the tabernacle. And in fact, once a year, there was one guy, the high priest, who was allowed to go in for just a short time. And then he had to come right back out. And they had to tie bells to him and a rope. Because there was a chance he could die while he's in there. And they wanted to be able to get him back out. But people couldn't stay in there. The best they could do was push right up to that boundary. And even at that, they didn't do a great job half the time. Again, God wasn't satisfied with this. God created man to have communion with God, to have fellowship with him. And so, God did something about it. God himself left his own group. This was radical. This was unheard of. God went out and he violated the boundary. He was born a man as Jesus Christ. He went out and lived as a man and died on the cross. That's awesome. Here was this boundary that could never be penetrated. God went and put a hole in it himself. God did away with this boundary of sin. He conquered sin and death so that we could get to God. Pardon me. He pierced the barrier so that all people can come to God. Let's look at what his word says. John chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you want to get to God, you have to go through Jesus Christ. But he made a way. He opened the way for us. The curtain in the temple, that was what the high priest went through on those special occasions. That was a symbol of that separation. When Jesus Christ died, it was torn in half. That barrier was torn, ripped asunder. So the goal of our lives is to get closer to God. And the way has been opened to us. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. So the picture might look a little bit more like this. Jesus Christ is the way to God. The goal of our lives is to get closer to God. And Christ has opened the way to us. And this is kind of where we stand today. Everyone can get closer to God. Every person you ever meet can get closer to God. But on your way, you have to encounter Jesus. Amen? And let me say it again. Everyone can get closer to God. That's easy when you're out driving around on 635 and somebody cuts you off and you say, oh, yeah, that guy can get closer to God, let me tell you. Yeah. That's one right there. This guy can get closer to God. Yeah. Everyone can get closer to God. We've talked about, we've used this term before, hamartia. That's the original word that the term we when we say sin, it comes from the word hamartia. It was a Hebrew word, and it meant to miss the mark. There's the mark. Moving in any other direction is hamartia. That's missing the mark. Sin, another way to define sin, sin is anything that separates us from God. All right? You still with me?
Yeah.
Well, Jesus remove that barrier so we can come to God. The problem is we like to put up new ones. As I mentioned, we like to classify things into groups. All right? Everybody on board with that? Some churches think that they are the in-group. Jesus addressed this. He told a parable in Luke 18, verses 9 through 14. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. God, I thank you that I am not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, and I give a tenth of all that I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He could not even look up to heaven, but he beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Amen. Let me ask you, does that sound familiar? That's us. We do that. We do that. We make a subtle change. We often say, thank you, God, that I'm not like those Pharisees. But that's the same thing. We say, some churches do this, as if we're better than them. I said that phrase about six sentences ago. Some churches think they're the in-group. We say that. We've said that. We say it like we're better than them. We are them. That's us doing what Jesus described as bad in that parable. When we exclude others or look down on others, that's not love. We're talking about love in this series. When we say, man, I'm really glad I'm not that guy, that's not love. Let me tell you, we are the out-group. And I don't mean that in like a hipster way where it's cool to be uncool. Yeah, man, I'm totally the out-group. I'm sorry, I don't know how cool people stand. I mean, nowadays that's the cool thing to do, to play like you're uncool. No, we are the out-group. We're the rejects. If there is an in-group and an out-group, God would be the in-group. We would be the out-group, period. And by we, I mean all of us. Because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There isn't anybody who could stand up and say, well, not me. It's me and God, and then the rest of you guys. But God suffered to break down that barrier. Jesus died to bring us in, to open the way for us. God's love reached us while we were yet sinners. God loved us even when we were the out-group. God's love reaches. And so our love should reach others and help move them closer to God. Amen? All right. So this is my handy diagram. It's not meant to be like a spatial picture, like you got two dots that are close to each other. That doesn't mean that there are two people standing right next to each other. This is more like a map of our faith. You can be kind of all over the map in terms of your faith. But ultimately, the goal is to move towards God. I could be this guy, and the person at the grocery store who's ringing up my groceries could be this person. But I can still talk to them and interact with them. We're just in different places in our faith. We all start in different places. We all move in different directions at different times in our life. Again, God is the goal. Sometimes we move away from God. But hopefully, in time, we're going to move back. We change our direction and start moving back towards God. You know what that's called? That's repentance, changing direction. So you see where I'm sort of going to with this picture, all right? God is the goal. We're all trying to move towards God. And to do so, we must encounter Christ. I took that off to sort of simplify the picture a little bit, but we can never forget. You can't approach God except through Jesus Christ. But again, everyone can move closer to God. Muslims, Hindus, Scientologists, Mormons, Buddhists, atheists, the person on the dart with you, everyone, this guy can move closer to God. And you can help others move closer to God by showing them God's love. Now, not everyone moves toward God in the same way. We're all The goal is to get everybody to move closer to God. But what would it look like? Oftentimes we assume, all right, if you're going to get to know God, you got to do it like me. I know what I'm doing. I've got faith. So here, everybody, let me tell you exactly how I'm doing it, and you got to do it just like me. I'm moving towards God in this way. There's God. I'm moving towards God. All right, everybody, move towards God the same way I am. Yeah, this isn't working out so good. And look at this poor guy down here. If I make him move towards God the same way, move towards God. If I make him move, do the same thing I'm doing, it's moving him away from God. That's the opposite of what we want to do. That's the opposite of love. Love helps others move closer to God, not away from it. Others may not do the same things, do things the same way we do. Others may not believe exactly what we believe. But everybody can move closer to God. And really, from an arbitrary starting point, who's to say that other people's faith can't start them moving towards God? A Muslim person can start to move towards God in their Muslim faith. Rules of morality. That's all right. As it moves them closer to God, that's a good thing. And we don't need to get in the way of that and say, no, you gotta immediately start doing it the way I'm doing it, or you're doing it wrong. That's not love. Ultimately, they have to encounter Jesus Christ. I can't say that enough. But everybody can move closer to God. Everybody moves toward God in different ways. They may not believe exactly what we do. Jesus addressed this in Luke chapter 9, verses 49 through 50. Master, said John, we saw someone driving out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he's not one of us. He's not part of the in-group. He's not in our crew. So we told him to stop. We had to shut that down. Jesus says, do not stop him. For whoever is not against you is for you. Wow. That's a pretty radical statement. Nowadays, especially. Nowadays, we kind of live in a contentious world. If you're not with me, you're against me, and I'll drop you like a rock. But that's not how Jesus did it. Anyone who's not against us is for us. And if they are against us, you love your enemies and you pray for those who persecute you. That's love. We all have different backgrounds, even here in this room. I come from a Presbyterian background. We have people with a Pentecostal background, the Church of Christ. We have people who lean towards Catholicism. We have people with Messianic beliefs. That's all great. Because we're all part of one body. And I don't mean, when I say the church is the body of Christ, I don't mean we're part of one body as in we're all part of Redemption Church. I'm glad that you're all part of Redemption Church. I love you guys. We're part of one body, and that is the body of Jesus Christ. Amen. We have services here in Plano. We have services in Irving. One body. The youth kids who come on Saturday nights to Goal, but who can't come on Sundays. We're all part of one body in Jesus Christ. We're all brothers and sisters in Christ. In Redemption class, that's our membership class. We are having that today. That's available to you if you'd like to learn more about our church. There's one primary requirement. If you want to become a member of Redemption Church, you have to have the desire to move closer to God. That's all it takes. because we're all trying to move closer to God. That's our goal. We want to help you do that in any way we can, but not by making you do it according to me. John chapter 13, verses 34 through 35. The words of Jesus. A new command I give you. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. Love helps move people closer to God. That's what Jesus' love did. He came. He was born into our world, into the out-group, into a dangerous, hurtful world. He came out of heaven to bring us closer to God. So we must love others as He loved us. We had a great discussion in Connect Group this past week. We were talking about, do we really have to love everyone? When it says love your neighbor, is that really everyone? Well, again, let's turn back to the Word of God. They asked Jesus, what is the greatest commandment? What's the most important thing that we do? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. On these hang all the law and the prophets. If you love your neighbor, you should want to help them move closer to God, just as you want to. And yes, that applies to everybody. Because these are the two greatest commandments. These are the two most important things you can do with your life. Love God and then love the people around you. And you can do that by helping them move closer to God. Romans chapter 13, verse 8. Owe no one anything except to love each other. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. If you've done what the second greatest commandment commands, and you've done what the first commands. You've loved God by loving your neighbor. Yes, this extends to everyone. But the question that follows is, well, how do we do that? Well, an easy way. Pray for them. There's lots of people you'll never meet, but you can show them love by lifting them up in prayer. You can show people love in person by just showing them the love of Christ just through your behavior, through your attitude. Don't put up barriers. A lot of times, when it comes to faith, we tell people, you can't come to God unless you immediately start doing things exactly like me. That's not love. Don't put up barriers. The world tries to set up barriers for us. We don't need to add to it. Let me give you a sentence. Here's a fill in the blank. Judging by what you see on the news, how would you complete this sentence? Christians hate blank. There's a lot of things you could put in there. I mean, just from sort of public perception. Nowadays, with some of the stuff going on in Arizona, Christians hate homosexuals. I mean, you can see it right there. No. That's the world trying to say, Christians hate homosexuals. Look, they put up this barrier. No. We don't. I don't want to do that. I want all people to move closer to God. So I don't need to contribute to that by putting up barriers of my own. There are Here we go again. There are churches that can be exclusionary. Sometimes a group of people get together and they're all moving towards God in the same way. And they say, all right, we're the in-group. Oh, well, okay, so I guess God can be in it too. Okay. But that doesn't really happen all that often. I haven't encountered a church like that. I know I've heard of them. I know they exist. That's the picture that the world wants to paint of the church. In fact, the world's not even sure about God necessarily. They want all churches to just look like this. Don't play into that. Don't give into that. Don't ever let anyone look at you and see this. We don't put up barriers to us or to God, because that's not love. Homosexual people can move closer to God just like I can. I hope everyone moves closer to God. I hope this sermon helps people move closer to God. But when you tell someone they can't move closer to God unless they give up one specific thing, that's a barrier. Let me be totally transparent with you. You may disagree with this. I've probably already said something controversial. I believe smoking is a sin. I mean, it damages your body. It doesn't benefit you. It can damage other people around you. It shortens your life. I believe smoking is a sin. How silly would it be if I told people, oh yeah, I go to this great church. Whoa, but you can't come until you quit smoking. You have to stop smoking before you can come to church. You have to stop smoking before you can know God. God's not going to hear your prayers until you stop smoking. That's ridiculous. That's nonsense. Well, don't do that with any other sin. Amen. Do you see where I'm going with that? That's telling people, you got to do things exactly like I am. You got to move in the same direction I am in order to get closer to God. That's not love. Our goal should be to help people move closer to God. They will encounter Christ. And he's the one with the power to transform their lives. Not us. They need to know Jesus Christ. How they get there might look different for different people. But when they do, when they receive this gospel, it transforms their life. He's still transforming my life. I can't speak for anyone else in here. He's still at work in me. I'm not done yet. So I can't act like I'm the finished product and others aren't there yet. I can't act like I know exactly what things are supposed to be like. I'm not the model. Jesus Christ is. Sometimes we try to make ourselves seem more godly by pointing out others' faults. It's a lot like the Pharisee in this parable. Thank God I'm not like that guy. We don't want to help them change. We're trying to help ourselves, really. Trying to look better in terms of how close we are to God. And so, we say it in a lot of subtle ways, but here's a person. They're heading towards God. Here we are. Oh, look, you're further away, jerk. You're no good. And we put up a barrier in trying to Newton's third law, opposite reaction, push off of them and push ourselves closer to God. It doesn't work that way here. You may be effective at sort of ricocheting them off in some other terrible direction, but it moves you further away from God too, because that's not love. When you're not showing love to other people, you're moving further away from God. Romans 14, verse 13. Therefore, let us not pass judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in your brother's way. Instead, let's look back at our memory verse from the past month. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 8. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, even the evil of other people, but it rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Amen. Amen. Praise God. That's our model. That's what we need to strive for. It doesn't dishonor others. It's not self-seeking. We move others closer to God because we love them and we love God, and we want to see those two things connect. It keeps no record of wrongs. Well, I don't want to witness to this guy. I know what he's done. He's a jerk. No, there is no one who is undeserving of God's love. Pushing others away from God is the worst thing we can do. Pushing others, helping others move away from God, that's terrible. That's the opposite of love. That's the opposite of the mission that we were called to by Christ. We want to help them turn from this and move closer to God. That's love. Love moves others closer to God. Again, let's look at Romans chapter 13, verse 10. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love doesn't harm them. Love helps them to move closer to God. So don't give in to hate. Don't listen when the world tells you Christians are supposed to hate. It's not true. Listen to Christ. He tells us to love. The world will know that we are his disciples because of our love, if we love one another. Don't listen when the world tells you that Christians hate anything. Don't give in to hate even when others hate you, because they will. Jesus warned us of this. But he also told us to love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. Don't give in to hate. 1 John chapter 4, verse 20. Whoever claims to love God, yet hates his brother, he is a liar. If anyone who does not love his brother, who he has seen, cannot love God, who he has not seen. We have to love. We have to love everyone. Our love should move others closer to God. But still, man, God, that's tough. How do we do that? Fortunately, God is very wise. And he has a plan. He gives us a secret weapon. We're trying to move closer to God all the time. Well, God isn't satisfied with that. He came in the form of Jesus Christ and moved closer to us. And after Christ, he came as the Holy Spirit to live in us. God fills us. We can receive the Spirit of God. We can take God with us, so that when we go and meet someone, We're taking God to them. We want them to move closer to God. God can move closer to them through us. And then we help them move closer to God. We just read 1 John chapter 4, verse 20. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. But let's take a look at the verse right before that. That explains how we can do this. 1 John chapter 4, verse 19. We love because he first loved us. We are the outgroup. Our capacity to love comes from God. If he could love us, even while we were yet sinners, we can love others. God was holy and perfect, and we betrayed that. We betrayed him, and he still loved us. Even on the cross, he prayed for us on our behalf. He loved us. If he can love us, we can love others. Let your love be a reflection of his love. It's easier to love some people than others. Some people are lovable, some aren't. I know people in my life that aren't easy to love. That doesn't mean I get to not love them. I love them because he first loved me. Our whole capacity to love, our ability to love others comes from him. Let your love for them be a reflection of his love for you. And we take the Holy Spirit. By the power of the Holy Spirit, we can love other people. We take God to people. If you want to see God transform the lives of other people, take God to them and love them. Show them his love. Let his love be in you. At the end of service, every week, we open these altars and invite everyone to come forward and pray. And we're about to do that. God is in the house today. God is here. He's not up here. You're not moving closer to God by stepping forward to these altars. But I invite you to stand up. Stand up. And take a step. Move yourself. Just as a sign of submission, of willingness, that you're willing to move yourself, to move closer to God. We're going to gather in these front altars to pray. If you need special prayer, if you would like someone to pray with you, stand within 2 feet of the steps, and part of the ministry team will be glad to pray with you. These altars are open. Come. Talk to God.
Thank you for joining us. For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. And be sure to connect with us on Facebook and Twitter.